all day, every day.
Wait, every day?
No, I mean, not really. But for what we've been going through this week, you didn't remember.
I'm getting
it was
35 currently. I'm gonna need that to be bumped up in the future. I'm not gonna go. If in April it's 35 and sunny, I can assure you I'll be complaining on the radio.
It was 63 degrees on Monday.
Yeah.
So we started the week 63 degrees and nice and sunny, uh-huh. And then it just deteriorated.
Yeah, snowed yesterday. Oddly, in February. So we have that for you as well. We'll get you ready for the weekend. Tennessee at Auburn in basketball, college hoops with just a few weeks to go until the postseason arrives. A lot of things going on in the sports world. I joked on the Ain Show earlier in the morning of as they were talking about what would you change. I said that I would get rid of sports shaming because we're at a time where also people are starting to check in on other sports, and then people make fun of them for watching those sports. I'm a victim of that at times.
Now,
I don't understand why that happens.
You are a semi-shamer. I mean, we talk a lot of trash about Tyler Ivins and his choices of teams.
No, but I don't. I mean, I make fun of his team, but I don't make fun of him for watching his teams.
I get what you're saying. I see the distinction.
Yeah, sure. I'm talking about, you like that sport? When did it become cool to not like sports? I don't understand.
I will tell you this. I made some jokes about dressage during the last Olympics, and I was like, oh my gosh, you talk about hoity-toity. This is ridiculous. I can't believe this is actually an Olympic sport. Watched it. It is super cool. These people are like Dr. Doolittles. They are animal whisperers. It's incredible. So I like it. I like a little. What do they call it? Eventing. Eventing in the Olympics. Yeah, it's very cool.
That's going a bit extreme. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. I was filling in for Josh a few years ago. I guess it was 4 years ago, getting ready for the last Summer Olympics. And Will West and Amanda Watson trying to figure out how to pronounce dressage because they kept just saying dressage. Oh, that was a fun time.
Yeah, but I was... I'm validating the point that you're making. Don't make fun of, don't make fun of sports. Try them out. If you don't like them, then just don't watch them.
Well, there might be some dressage exceptions. Let's take a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
So, is there a problem brewing in the NFL, as the reports over the last couple of days indicated that this was going to get done probably by the end of the week, that the new CBA would be signed off by the players after the owners did? And then you have J.J. Watt with the public. That's a no for me, dog. And then Richard Sherman with the public. Let's keep these no's going. And now there's pushback.
Yeah.
And Darren Vell last night was saying, yeah, this is a bad deal. Players should not do this. And now there's real skepticism. And if it doesn't get done, then you wonder, okay, what's the behind the scenes relationship going to be like between the players and the owners?
I heard Mike Keith not too long ago explain the current environment right now in the NFL. The owners feel like they gave too much, giving the players that extra 1% of television revenue. So they're looking for an incentive to make back that money. And that's why the owners are all in on a longer schedule. It's not their butts out there on the field, right? So that's the big point of contention. When we were talking about it with Alan Bell yesterday, and I asked him, do you think that this is going to pass easily, or is there going to be some animosity there? I really feel like the players, by and large, are going to be against adding any more games to the regular season schedule. I think it could come in a stalemate. We heard rumors last summer about a potential lockout after this collective bargaining agreement expires. I don't know if it'll get that far because dudes still want to make money and get paid. But I think it's going to be very much contentious between the two parties.
Darren Revell wrote this last night. I've been covering sports labor for 20 years. This deal the NFL owners are putting forth might be the worst deal, with the exception of the deal the NHL players accepted in 2005 after a year off. There's no way the NFL Players Association says yes to this. And Richard Sherman echoed Darren Revell's comments. So long way to go potentially here with the NFL players and the owners trying to get a deal done. So we'll be monitoring that. Perhaps some news comes out as the day goes along. Big Poppy calling out my fears. So as the Astros scandal world turns, the latest is Big Poppy calling out Mike Fears as a snitch.
I like Big Poppy, and I cannot lie. He was always like one of my favorite players. Now he has just vaulted to the absolute top. Big Poppy comes from an area where you keep your mouth shut. snitches get stitches, okay? Or wind up in ditches. Remember that, Josh Ward. I don't know if y'all were saying that on the streets of Farragut when you were growing up.
Yeah, East Farragut came up time to time.
But I kind of like what he said. Obviously, I'm tired of the pile-on. I told you I was starting to feel bad for all the Houston fans.
You said the Astros.
I know, I did.
You
I know.
Said the Astros.
So I think they went too far. I do want to make that 100% clear. They went too far. Move on. Just move on. Like, you can't do anything about it now.
Here's the issue with that, and you're not necessarily wrong, but it would have been much easier to move on if the Astros hadn't act like a bunch of jerks.
Yes.
And when they did that, that's when the players around Major League Baseball responded the way they did. It also didn't help that the owner acted like a big jerk along the way, too.
Yeah. The whole sorry, not sorry apology was
terrible. It was
embarrassing.
Yeah. It was terrible. And when the Astros did that, when the players put on that ridiculous press conference that they did, they asked for the blowback that they have received.
What did you think about Poppy's comments? He wasn't wrong. You got your World Series ring, and then all of a sudden you went to another team, and now you want to turn them in? Come on.
Well, that's not exactly how it went, though, as well. They had already been turned in. So it wasn't like Fears was not the first person to say, hey, this has gone on. He confirmed it had gone on, but he's not the one that just went to Major League Baseball and said, hey, you need to look at this. So I'm also guessing that Big Poppy's not all the way educated on what's occurred here. That would be my biggest issue. Also,
I think you just keep your mouth shut in Poppy's world.
Yeah, especially when maybe you've been a cheater yourself, which Big Poppy has been.
Do not slander his precious name.
Love Big Poppy, but this is maybe a subject he shouldn't be a part of. Love him, though. Love him. Glad he's doing well. How into the Fury versus Wilder fight are you on Saturday night? I'm guessing you won't be watching, probably, right?
Well, it's on ESPN Plus.
It's the old pay-per-view.
Yeah. Now, we had the cowboy fight a couple of weeks ago. My nephew was in town. If my nephew comes around, we watch more fights. One, they happen way too late, though. I mean, when you're sitting up at 11:30, 12 o'clock trying to watch the main fight, and then it's over in 30 seconds, I'm really not all in.
Yeah, we'll hear from them. Good trash talk at the press conference. Curious on the build-up to it, though. Lady Vols lost again last night. Goodness.
This is bad. 5-game losing streak now. Luckily, they end the season with three just teams they should definitely beat. So if they lose one of those last three,
the final three are against the three bottom teams of the SEC.
They have to go to Auburn. I was talking to Mickey. He said that game could get a little tricky. You got to win it. At this point, bracketology this week has not been updated since Tuesday.
They were a 9 seed on Tuesday.
Yeah, so they're looking at a double-digit seed, and if they do not win out, they could possibly miss the tournament. And that's not good, because remember when I looked up the recruiting for this offseason, and it was not very good?
Yeah.
You don't want to couple that with missing the tournament.
Lady Vols jumped out to 7-1 in conference play, which was really good, but also largely taking advantage of bottom half of the league teams. Mm-hmm. Facing top half of the league teams, it's not gone well. 5 straight losses for the Lady Vols. Trey Young with 50 against the Miami Heat last night. Exciting stuff there.
Can he do anything in Atlanta? I mean, is he going to be a guy that we talk about making playoff runs and stuff in Atlanta?
He's going to need more help. So, yeah, I think he could. I think he's gonna have a terrific career. That just seems like a franchise that, because we've seen it reach a ceiling of being a 4 or 5 seed, maybe get to the second round and then bow out.
Is that what they were doing without Horford?
Yeah, and part of the issue is they've not had legitimate star power. They've had good players. They've had good rosters, but they've not had the heavy hitters that are going to push you forward against the other team's heavy hitters. So if he gets more big-time help, maybe so. Maybe drafting Chris Paul instead of Marvin Williams would have helped, as I keep bringing that one up. Joel Embiid calling himself the best player in the NBA. I would not agree with that one. He is right in that if the Sixers are going to go on a run, he's going to have to lead the way.
Yeah, 39 points for him last night, a season high. So it's consistency with him. You know the heights that he can reach. You know how good of a player he is. Half the time, he just acts like he doesn't care. So it's hard to count on him.
Now, fans certainly, they care about jokes. Butch Jones, as the position was updated. I have to be honest, I don't know that I understand exactly what comes with these roles with different schools. There are assistants to the head coach in a number of spots, but that is the new position for Butch Jones, as, of course, the internet brought up, well, assistant to the traveling secretary, George Costanza, and assistant to...
the regional manager.
Dwight Schrute.
Good for Butch. He's still on the path to getting his name back into the conversation for being a head coach again. I do think you're going to see him as a head coach. I don't think in the SEC or the Big Ten. Maybe one or two schools in the Big Ten would be interested, but I think he's like an ACC guy. I think that's what he needs to look at.
Yeah, I would say group of five if we're talking.
Oh, you're
head
going
coach.
Group of five?
Yeah. But I will say, while the jokes roll out, I told you earlier, the joke is not on Butch Jones. He has another full year of $200,000 a month coming from the University of Tennessee. Jokes are there. The jokes are not on Butch Jones.
$200,000 a month. Mm-hmm. That is a world to which I am not familiar, Josh Ward.
Yeah, he was fired, what, about 28 months ago?
Yeah.
That's some good coin. That is a look around the sports world. We take it each and every day to begin Sports 180 as we are with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Big giveaway coming up in our next segment for a big show coming to Knoxville tomorrow. We'll talk Tennessee at Auburn. Vols on the road against Bruce Pearl's Tigers. Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, talking college football at 12:30. All right here on FM 99.1, the sports animal. Giveaway time. Final time, Heather.
Big show coming up tomorrow. It's going to be huge. Morgan Wallen's going to be in the house.
Yep. Big Tennessee fan.
Yes, he is. He is. And, of course, Jason Aldean.
That's right. So, caller number 4 to 656 wins. Caller number 4 to 656-9467 wins a pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean's We Back Tour coming tomorrow to Thompson Bowling Arena. Now, you have to be able to pick up the tickets by 5:30. That's when our offices will close, so make sure you can do that. But caller number 4 to 656 wins will win a pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean, as Morgan Wallen and Riley Green will also be a part of the show. If you're looking for tickets, KnoxvilleTickets.com/Aldean.
I think everybody's going to have a really good time. WIVK is going to be huge outside of the concert, so they're going to have all kinds of swag and stuff. So
look for the frog.
Yeah, look for the big, giant frog. And that we've got an inflatable and a real frog, so everybody be on the lookout.
That's right. Wivik the Frog will be running around, having a good time, getting ready for a big show at Thompson Bowling Arena tomorrow. We are with you until 3 o'clock. We'll talk a little college football in 10 minutes with Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com.
Wait. We're talking about football with Barrett? We're not talking about the Final Four?
It's the same thing, yeah. This is the first tomorrow of 3 Tennessee versus Auburn matchups.
It's very true.
Rick Barnes versus Bruce Pearl twice. Hannah Ann versus Madison Pruitt in the other round.
I love how you gave a nod to that on your podcast today, and you were like, oh, wait, that's a different pod. My bad.
Yeah, still factors in. So, Tennessee-Auburn, big rivalry here over the next 3 weeks.
It really is, and I don't have a lot of hope. I think we'll probably talk about this. For Tennessee pulling off a road upset, it's going to be very tough.
Auburn's lost 4 times, all on the road.
Yes, it's all been on the road. So we'll see what happens, and they've got the undefeated home streak this year, so... I don't have high expectations for tomorrow. I want the guys to go in and play well, and let's see how everything shakes out. But the last game of the season in Thompson Bowling Arena, that's a different story, especially if Auburn has climbed into any sort of co-championship spot. If Tennessee could play spoiler in that, be awesome. So my bigger hopes for the Auburn upset is going to come the last week of the year.
Yeah, so it's going to be really difficult. Isaac Okoro, what's his status as he's missed the last 2 games? I mean, without him, Auburn was a team that was capable of losing, again, away from home, but to Missouri and to Georgia, 2 of the bottom 5 teams in the SEC. Neither one of those teams are very good. Georgia's a team we've talked about from a personnel standpoint, really disappointing this year. You know, Missouri, though, Missouri's a bottom 5 team. Missouri was without 2 starters in that game. So it's not like Missouri was at full strength going up against a beaten up Auburn team. So that's a team where if Okoro is not out there or if he's really limited, Tennessee could have a shot there. It would still be a long shot, I would think, going down there to play.
I would love to know. You would have to listen to a couple of the different games, Konzo Martin pregame speech versus Ole Miss pregame speech versus Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers. I bet he kicks it up at least one notch. Yeah. How could he not?
You're saying you like getting a win against Bruce?
Oh, he loves. Yeah, it's. I think Konzo and I are sort of cut from the same cloth in the regards of, man, you know, there would be a little extra motivation for that one.
Okay. Yeah. Is there any kind of history? Tennessee will play at Auburn. It's a noon tip, by the way, tomorrow on CBS. And Auburn is the number 35 team in KenPom. If you pull up, Grant Raymead had the average earlier. I'll pull that up for you. But if you pull up the opponents that Tennessee has down the stretch, Auburn twice, Kentucky, Florida is going to be at home, and then a road game against Auburn. Kentucky, of course, is away. The average net rating of Tennessee's five opponents remaining, 33.2. The average KenPom rating, 36.5. Their combined record, those five teams, one twice, Auburn, 76-33. That's close to a 70% winning percentage. This is the toughest stretch of Tennessee's schedule, which you can look at one of two ways. One, it's an opportunity because the position Tennessee's in, it needs to beat good teams. The problem is trying to win, you have to do it against good teams. And Tennessee has struggled to put together any kind of consistent run of success against lesser competition.
Well, and not only that, but you have the fatigue factor and injury factor sort of creeping in for this Tennessee team. And the fact that they've been inconsistent, I could honestly see Tennessee beating a team that they are not supposed to beat on this schedule. And then also just not showing up. I love the quote from Rick Barnes that he had this past week where the coaches were watching Eve during warmups and then during the first start of the game. And they're like, man, he just doesn't have it tonight. And Rick overheard that and went and challenged Eve personally. And for a guy that had been limited in how much he could practice before the South Carolina game, he's got nagging things going on. How many times can Rick Barnes go to that well if Eve is just having an off night or is maybe, I don't want to say unmotivated. I think he's always giving full effort, but sometimes maybe being a little less focused than what you need from him.
Two guys that have been challenged in the last 2 days by Rick Barnes or since the game Tuesday night against Vanderbilt, Eve Pons and John Fulkerson. That'll be the case tomorrow against Auburn. We'll talk more about that this afternoon. We'll talk some college football. Tennessee has gotten some top 20, top 25 looks over the last couple of weeks. Is that deserved? We'll ask Barrett Salee of CBS Sports next on FM 99.1, the sports animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Alongside Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We are here until 3 o'clock this afternoon when Sports Talk will begin. And we are pleased to welcome to the show, as we do every Friday afternoon, Barrett Salee of CBSSports.com. See him on CBS Sports HQ as well. He joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. Barrett, I've noticed it's another fun week where everybody's nice to you on Twitter and social media, which is typically the case.
Yeah, people are mad online all the time. It's part of the gig, right? At least it's calmed down from when Trump retweeted me, which was one of the more bizarre experiences of my life.
Oh. Yeah, I'll bet that's not even an exaggeration. I know that people are mad all the time, but why is this the case? Why does it continue when we know that it's going on? Why do we continue to get mad as a collective people?
I don't know. Like, anonymity like breeds content, right? Like, people just get comfortable with the fact that, you know, they're not going to get called out and people in our line of work are not going to be social on social media. So when we are, they get pissed. So it's part of the gig. Somebody told me that I should never have reproduced today, which is nice to hear from somebody.
That's a nice thing to say.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's nice.
I think your wife and your kids very happy about that too, by the way, Barrett.
I think they're okay with that.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I feel like is on the horizon right now for this is all of college sports, but football in particular, would be the transfer rule. Do you see that being adopted and applied as quickly as fall of 2020?
Oh yeah, it'll be enacted before this football season. It'll be enacted across all sports for the 2020-2021 school year. I do wonder if they're going to grandfather people in too. So, you know, once it's announced, is it immediate? Because it might be immediate, with some of these kids who are transferring or have announced transfers. So, yeah, I think it'll be implemented. These kids are college kids, and people go to college to prepare for their futures across all, academics, the academic spectrum or athletic spectrum, doesn't matter. And so much changes over a five-year period in college football. Why wouldn't they have the ability to maximize their professional value if things change, especially if things change, where they currently are. So, that's, I think, is the genesis of it. And then there's this idea out here that it will destroy the group of five and make it a farm system. And I had some coaches tell me that, this week, and it's just not true. I mean, yeah, if Middle Tennessee develops a stud linebacker and, Tennessee's like, hey, you know what? We'll take you for the final 2 years of your career because you're awesome and you start here. Then great. Good for him. Good for Tennessee. But that also goes both ways because there probably will be a highly recruited player that whose job he takes who might want to transfer down to group of five and not only help himself out, but probably make whichever team he goes to better. So it makes sense. There's no reason not to do it. And yeah, I think it'll happen, definitely in time for the 2020 season.
Yeah, Barrett Salees with the CBSSports.com. That probably just goes back to the natural fear that people have because we see players transfer down all the time. You go to a big school, you get beaten out, playing time's not there, maybe you get in trouble, whatever. But you see guys transfer to JUCO and then down or straight down and then they succeed. So smaller schools have already benefited from transfers. I'm sure they will. It will go both ways just like it already has.
Yeah, I mean, look at FCS schools. I mean, there are some FCS schools. Jacksonville State is like the breeding ground for former Auburn and Alabama, players. And they're really good. And a lot of those guys get chances to go to the NFL. So if that becomes, the group of five instead of FCS, then okay, fine. And that's the part of it that I think is concerning. If you're an FCS school, you're looking around going, well, dang, some of my 3- and 4-star kids who, didn't cut it are not going to come here anymore. But that goes, every direction too, because some group of five kids will be going down to FCS. So it's going to be better for college football. It might be more difficult to figure out, who's on which team on which day, but that's all good. We have an off season. It provides, above all else, content for us, and that's what's most important.
Yeah, I will not complain. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
I think all of us are a little selfish in that regard, just pushing this agenda because, Cade Mace, we're talking about him here in Knoxville. Yeah, you tweeted out a couple of hours ago, you want me in Boulder, you need me in Boulder, with a nice picture of Butch Jones. We were talking about it yesterday, Barrett. I think Butch would be a great candidate for Colorado. What does that situation look like, and who is Colorado going to hire at this point?
I think Brett Bielema is going to be in that mix. Darren Civerini, I think, is going to be in that mix. Apparently, they're hitting the reset button now and looking around some more. But, I'd love, but again, content, I'd love to have Butch Jones in Colorado. He almost took that job, I believe it was before John Emery took that job, five or whatever it was before the year before Tennessee, so 2013. So, that'd be fine with me, but I don't think he's going to get a look. Especially considering Tennessee's paying him $200,000 a month, why would you leave that cash cow? I think Brett Bielema has interviewed. I know he's interested. I know they're interested in him. I would imagine it's going to be either him or Darren Civerini, who's the interim coach right now. And honestly, either one of those guys would be fine. Darren Civerini is one of those guys where if you hire him at Colorado and he's marginally successful, he's going to stay there forever. Played wide receiver there. Grew up around there, has been on that staff since 2016 across two coaching staffs, and is a good recruiter too. So I would imagine it's going to be Brett Bielema or Darren Civerini, and I would guess right now it's probably going to be Civerini if I had to bet.
Barrett Salees, CBSSports.com. And Barrett, as you mentioned, a lot of time to fill in the offseason, a long way to go before we get to July and August where real polls come out. But, this is the time we start to look way ahead. Tennessee's getting top 20, top 25 looks right now. Is that warranted top 25 talk for the Vols in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, they return a lot offensively, although, losing Jennings and Callaway hurts. But, they play great defense toward the end of last season. I think that's something they can definitely build on. You know, if Jared Garantano, you know, finishes out the way or starts the way he finished out last season, then that's promising. And, you know, really they weren't that far away from being a top 25 team last year. I mean, just one of those games, Georgia State or BYU, you know, take one of them off the table and they probably finish a top 25 team. So, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I think a lot of folks will look towards the back end of all these polls and pretend to get angry and rage and all that other stuff when they see teams that are just okay, you know, toward the back end of the top 25. Well, that's exactly what the top 25 is, teams that are just okay and kind of good and have moments where they suck. That's what Tennessee was last year. So why wouldn't they be top 25 this year?
Why would Madison Pruitt not win The Bachelor as we are at the final three? What do you think here as we head into Monday?
If she takes it too personally that Peter the Pilot had no idea who Charles Barkley was. Like, that dude had no friggin' clue who Charles – how do you not know Charles Barkley? And more importantly, if you're going to Auburn on a hometown date and you're going to meet Madison's dad, who's an Auburn coach, and you're probably going to meet Bruce Pearl, who is the Auburn head coach, how do you not at least study up? It's not like Auburn's basketball history is – you know, an encyclopedia.
Yeah, it's, Google it. It's on. It's a flight.
Book. Yeah,
yeah. You had a flight
book.
And a drive.
They don't have much of it. Yeah, it's not like you have to go through every single year. Otherwise, you'd be really depressed. I mean, just hit the highlights. It's all you need to know. And I mean, I just that made me so irrationally angry. And my wife looked at me and she goes, "Why are you so mad?" I'm like, "How do you not know who Charles Barkley is? Like, how do you not know who he is?"
He claims to be a sports fan, but he really knows nothing about sports. Doesn't he even have, like, a Seahawks tattoo or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's like, okay, if you don't remember that he played basketball or that he played basketball at Auburn, okay. But don't you know him as the funny bald dude on TNT? Like, I don't get it. I mean, I'm still mad about that. I am mad about it.
Yeah, you sound like your followers on Twitter now.
I know, right? I'm going to start yelling at him online.
Yeah. Before we go, I did think that Hannah Ann did well on her hometown date. I thought she's the Knoxville girl, of course. But so I'm a little bit of a homer here. I thought she did well this past week.
She did. But I think everything fails. What's the other woman's name? That is literally insane.
Victoria.
Victoria.
Yeah, she's
yeah.
Yeah,
she's
oh, lost God, it. Victoria. Lost it. Yeah.
Jeez, she's got all the crazy in her. Yeah, I mean, I thought Hannah Ann did okay. Madison is going to win. I mean, it is going to be the biggest blowout since LSU beat Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, it does feel that way. Yeah, it does. Barrett Salee, follow him for college football. Yell at him when you get mad, and he'll be okay with it and bounce back just fine. He joins us every Friday, CBSSports.com, where you can read his work and watch him as well, CBS Sports HQ. Barrett, have a good weekend. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see y'all.
Barrett Salee joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. Why do you know about Peter the Pilot's tattoos when you don't watch The Bachelor? What's happening here?
Because, I was listening to that. The podcast I listened to today this week was very informative. It was very informative. And they were like, how can you claim to be a sports fan? Which these two people, they know about sports. They are not like in on sports.
Uh-huh.
But they have a working knowledge of the sports world. They also called Madison Pruitt a world-class athlete at one point. And I was like, maybe let's back away from the sports knowledge a little bit. But, yeah, they were talking about it. They were like, how can a sports fan who really doesn't seem to know anything about sports or have any sort of interest, he's yeah. not athletic at all. I mean, did you see the axe throwing, too?
Yes.
I watched some clips online. It's not very good.
Yeah. I got to ask you this. Total time this week, what would you say you consumed information on The Bachelor, which, once again, I want to repeat for the audience, you don't actually watch?
It was probably like an hour out of my week, yeah.
Are you lowballing that number, too?
No, because I listen to the podcast in 1.5 speed.
Ah, there you have it.
Yeah, because right. I don't need to hear everything, you know, and I can zone out a little bit on it.
Okay.
I got sucked in. It was, you know, there.
They got you.
Yeah. I mean, they're going after me. I'm the target demo here.
Yeah, you are. All right.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, crazy for sure. Victoria F's bringing all of that, too. Madison and Hannah Ann, they have their stuff together.
Yeah, they seem to. I saw a picture of, I don't know, I don't know how you decide to make out in the middle of a basketball court when there's like bleachers all around. I thought that was a little excessive.
Well, they were empty.
Yeah, you could go over and sit there. Like, why are you laying on a basketball court at this point in time?
Ever heard of seizing the moment?
Carpe diem.
Ever heard of a break? It's time for one. We will come back. Face Off, presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Seizing the moment.
No bachelor questions coming up from Joel. That's next. That's my tease on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us this afternoon on Sports 180. We'll talk to Will Shelton of Game Day on RockyTop.com at 1:30. See what he thinks about Tennessee's basketball game tomorrow at Auburn. The Vols enter, I guess, desperation mode. I mean, they've got to win some games here. Not necessarily tomorrow, but I've said over the last couple of weeks, I don't think the NCAA tournament talk is all that fair. While it's Tennessee's not mathematically eliminated, they kind of have to do something that they haven't been able to do yet this year. But they also get a chance to prove me wrong there. So that starts tomorrow at Auburn. We'll talk about it this afternoon. We'll talk to Will Shelton about it 40 minutes from right now. Getting you ready for big sports weekend coming up. We've got some XFL breakdowns around the corner, too.
We got XFL this weekend, college basketball. There's actually a couple of really good matchups in the NBA, so a lot to do around the sports world.
Right now, we hit the face-off.
You want some? Come get some!
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man!
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Alrighty, Joel, what do you have for us?
What percentage chance do you give Tennessee to beat Auburn tomorrow?
I'm going to bump it up to 30 to 33, 1-3 shot maybe. Isaac Okoro, his status, his availability, and his ability to make plays will be a factor there as well. That's a question going into tomorrow's game. But Auburn's been vulnerable this week. Now it goes back home, and that's what makes it really tough for Tennessee. So put me down for 30% for the Vols.
Auburn is definitely vulnerable, but Tennessee, the aches and pains are starting to creep in and affect this team a little bit. We'll see how focused they are when they go on the road. I just give Auburn a big chance to win. I'm going to go 30% for the Vols.
Sixers big man Joel Embiid called himself the best player in the world. Where would you rank him?
Are we playing a video game, or are we playing like real in the NBA? If he's a video game, I would put him in the top 10. I think the only player better that's classified as a forward slash center would be Anthony Davis at this point in time. The problem to me with Joel Embiid is that he's got a bad attitude and he's not a team guy. So I would put him outside of the top 10 if we're putting real games on the table.
See, if we're talking about real games that matter and Joel's healthy and ready to go, he's definitely top 10 for me. I can't get to 10 guys before I would put him out there on the floor. He's in the 7 to 8 range for me. The run that he's out for a few more games, but Dame Lillard that he's gone on, he would be in that 6 to 7 range. Luka's tricky. I think I would go Joel right now, although Luka can make plays. So long answer to say probably 8th.
Is the snitch label for Mike Fears from David Ortiz fair?
It is not fair. Now, Poppy's, I guess, he's from a place where that's the label that you're going to give. As I said at the beginning of the hour, I think this is probably a subject that David Ortiz should opt out of. And putting this on Mike Fears would not be fair, and I think that's what that does.
Answer one question for me. Did Mike Fears call Major League Baseball, or did Major League Baseball call Mike Fears?
In terms of the order of operation, I thought baseball called him.
Okay.
Now, the A's turned in the Astros before we realized that had happened.
I guess if he didn't seek
it
out,
and
he
spoke
just
to the Athletic.
Yeah. Okay. It's hard to say because I'm not totally clear on the timeline of events. If he just started spouting off, then yes, you're a snitch. If you were contacted first and then you talked about being contacted by Major League Baseball, then no, I would say that would be an unfair label.
Tomorrow is National California Day. What is the best TV show set in California?
Oh, there are so many good ones. Is it so lame if I say...
Before you answer, probably.
I think it's got to be... I love Beverly Hills 90210, but the show that I watched more than anything, could watch it on reruns right now, would be Saved by the Bell.
Man, that's a good answer.
Time out.
Yeah. I love the show. It's coming back, right?
Yep.
I think Beverly Hills 90210 is the answer here.
Thought no about, entourage.
No. I thought about Beverly Hillbillies as an answer here. Big Bang Theory, New Money in that conversation. I would go with 90210. Just the cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Who wins tomorrow, Baylor or Kansas?
I kind of think that Baylor will never lose again. They haven't lost since November 8th. I am going to go with Kansas getting it done, and you split the regular season series away and away. So give me Kansas to win the game.
Yeah, because this is at Baylor, right? This is going to be a hyped environment. First time a team like Baylor has hosted a game of this magnitude. Give me the Bears to get it done at home. I'm excited for them. I want them to win. Waco.
All right, Heather gets the win.
I will say this, earlier this week.
What a song,
too. There you go. Thank you, Joel. Somebody referenced Colin, the man who got Kelly Taylor hooked on drugs and on something I was listening to. So the cultural references are there constantly.
Yeah. I won't, but that's a show that I've thought about going back and watching. I've only seen episodes. I never watched the show.
Oh.
90210.
I've watched it all the way through while I was in college. Somebody had the DVDs. It was so awesome. I would love to watch it again. The Brenda, Kelly, Dylan love triangle got a little ridiculous at some points. And then when the major stars started leaving and then coming back on the show, like all shows, it takes a dip. But there is nothing from my childhood besides Maverick flying that airplane that made an indelible impression on this mind as Dylan driving around that vintage Porsche. I mean, he could have been 007 at that point.
Is that right?
It's just fantastic.
We both chose shows with Tiffany Amber Thiessen, by the way.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. I thought my show, you could pop it on anytime. You know, it's lighthearted. Yeah, it's cute. They're always having jokes. So yeah, it's easy to watch.
Every time an episode of Saved by the Bell comes on, I get so excited, so excited, so excited, and then so scared.
So scared.
That's the face off.
That was caffeine pills. Could you imagine? And then fast forward, 20-something years, and what's that show that was on Netflix, The Questions?
Oh, I mean, TV Today. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's all right. Don't watch. Don't watch. That's the face off. Heather gets the win. Say by the bell. Good pick. I'll go with her as well. Face off presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. We'll both agree on this as well. They've got it all for you. Group fitness classes, like the weekend coming up. The schedule's great for you. And they put it up on the website, the app. You always know what's coming up. And it's included, these group fitness classes, with your membership. But besides that, they have the equipment you need. Indoor, outdoor training, tennis courts. I can keep on going at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Yeah, Country Fusion Dance Fitness. It's about to get cranking up here in just a couple of minutes. So whether your schedule, you need to work out in the mornings, you need to work out in the evenings, they start their group fitness classes at 6 a.m. and they have their last fitness class between 5:30 and 6:30 every single night of the week. So you can get those workouts in. You're never going to get bored because you can always try something new. And sometimes you might just want to check the kids into childcare. Go and zone out and just walk on the treadmill. You can overlook the pool or overlook the basketball court. And again, just take that mental break that you need. You're still getting your workout in, but you don't have to be all zoned in on it. So they have all fitness levels are welcome, and you're going to really start seeing results at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Kingston Bike, Pellis Hippie Parkway. Owen has a swim lesson tomorrow morning as well. They've got it all for you. Mention Sports 180. Get $20 off enrollment at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. More on Tennessee's weekend coming up. Everything going on in the sports world when we come back. 656-9900 to join us on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.